Welcome to the Black Sheep Believers podcast. Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Alicia.
Have you ever felt like you didn't belong?
A misfit, outcast?
Too loud, or even like a black sheep?
Us too.
Yep. Black Sheep Believers is a podcast of honest conversations for those seeking, questioning, and deepening their relationship with Jesus.
So let's have the hard but real conversations around feeling misunderstood and misplaced, but feeling fully accepted by the God that created us. Welcome home, Black Sheep. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Black Sheep Believers Podcast. That's Alicia.
Hey.
I'm Jess. And today, we're covering something. You know, we're talking about something.
No time to waste, too.
Yeah, we got to get into it.
So many things to get into. This is, I think, a conversation that we've wanted to have since we started with the idea of this podcast.
No doubt.
And we actually put up a little Q&A on our social media, and there was a very big response. So I know that you guys want to talk about this subject, which, what are we talking about today, Jess?
Yeah, today we're going to talk a little bit about church hurt. And we're also going to talk about just general reasons why people might not attend a church, might not be tied specifically to a hurt. It might specifically be looking from the outside in, or maybe formerly having been in the inside. For these reasons, I choose to do something else than attend a church. And I think I want to make a distinction between the two because, number one, I think it'll call for different responses to those points of view. And I want to hold space for people who they wouldn't identify as being necessarily hurt by the church, although a lot of people who have these points of view have been hurt by the church. But these are some possibly valid reasons why people are walking away from church and maybe decoupling from evangelical Christianity and other forms of faith. So we're going to talk about that. And I just want you to know, like, Alicia and I are specifically called to love an audience. Well, we're called to love everybody, but we both feel very passionate about different parts of our community and designed that way. It's why she and I both decided to do this podcast, was because there are people from her vantage point and from her community prior to meeting Jesus that are looking at Jesus from one vantage point. And then there are people like me who were part of a church or parts of several churches that are now deconstructing. And so there are several different perspectives that people will be in that are listening today, and we're going to do our very best to hold space for everybody.
Yes.
That's our goal. That's our goal.
And here's the thing. You know, kind of kicking this off, I wanted to read where some of you are at, and then Jess and I are going to kind of share a little bit about our experiences. And the specific question that I asked on social media was, can you share how the church has hurt you or how religion has hurt you? Never once did it ever come up that God hurt me, Jesus hurt me.
Wow.
It was all these other factions that somehow get wrapped into one.
Wow.
And I think that that happens a lot. I know Jess and I were talking about this earlier. It used to be when people would talk to me about church, I couldn't have anything to do with it. And they'd be like, okay, well, let me tell you about Jesus. Well, in my mind, because I had never really had a relationship with Jesus, I thought they were the same thing. So by default, because I couldn't have anything to do with church, I you know, innocently thought I couldn't have anything to do with Jesus. And they are extremely intertwined and important, and there's so much scripture that we're going to get into that backs up how an amazing church community can serve your life and can serve your walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
But for a second, I just wanted to make that distinction for those who might be healing or those who might be looking at the idea of a relationship with Jesus for the first time. Is church is a complement of what your relationship with Jesus is.
Wow.
And so it's okay if the first thing you want to do is think about, okay, where do I stand with Jesus? Let's just start there. And it's actually something that was a huge part of, you know, my personal walk with him.
Totally.
I started at Jesus first. Church, that came later. And it really helped me kind of take down the noise, take down all of the input outside of what Jesus just wanted to say to me in that very vulnerable moment, which was my first real beginning with him. So I wanted to make that distinction. But back to the questions and back to what we ask. I'm just going to read a couple here. Which, by the way, thank you guys for participating in this.
Wow.
This helps us so much in just making sure that we're talking about things that you want to hear about. So I put up the question, how has religion or how has church hurt you? And we got a lot of responses about how confession made people feel very shameful and never really feeling forgiven and redeemed.
And confession within the context of the Catholic Church.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then we got a lot of responses from people who had previously been in the LDS as well. And that
Latter-day Saints.
Mm-hmm. And that whole process of having to convert to LDS, there's a lot of responses and people that had went that route because of marriage or because of they met a person who was in the LDS church and then they had to go through that whole process. And then there was a lot of responses just talking about non-denominational churches and how their experience with, there was a lot of premarital sex shame. There was a lot of lifestyle shaming. There was one really big kind of theme, if you will, which was a lot of people were talking about how the church made them feel shame. And the church did not make them feel accepted. And there was even a couple of responses about how the church had completely turned their back on someone.
Wow.
So that's the pulse of where we're at.
Mm. Yeah. Those are all horrible.
Hearing that makes me really sad.
Totally.
And it makes me think of what a missed opportunity.
Mm.
And it also kind of makes me think about, you know, I had like one really negative experience with the church, but because I had one negative experience, I completely took myself out of church.
Mm.
And I never really had an experience again. Mm. And so it kind of brings up the question of, you know, what does happen when we experience negative in the church?
Mm.
And then where do we go from there?
Yeah. Can I share a couple? We will answer that question. I have a few.
Yes.
From the conversations that I had leading up to this chat.
Sorry.
Do you mind if I share?
all of the
things that you say. I just want to make sure that we just like pause for a second and just sit in the real pain and grief that people are experiencing. I don't want for someone who's listening that has felt that way to not feel like there's not space for you to say those things.
Mm-hmm.
How, what you experienced, whether it's a perspective or physical harm or emotional harm or wherever you're sitting in the pain that you've experienced from people who were supposed to be the example of Jesus to you, I am so sorry. I'm just so... It breaks my heart to know that Jesus might have been misrepresented to you. Because the Jesus that I know is so kind. And he's honest. And he doesn't always agree with the way that I intuitively want to live my life. Sometimes his truth really confronts me with my own sin. So I don't want to say that he's lovey-dovey and accepting of every decision I make. But at my very core, he loves me. He created me and he loves me. And when he course corrects me, it feels kind. It feels like he's after what's best for me. It feels like he's in my corner. And so if anyone has ever made you feel other than that, just know that's a person who's wrestling with their own conflicts, their own issues. Like, I just want you to know that, like, the real Jesus and how people have represented Jesus at times throughout all of human history has looked very different. And so that's first thing. I also really love the perspective that I've gotten from some of my friends and close, you know, people that are close to me who I had some really great conversations with over the last few days. And some of the ones that I heard that I thought were really fascinating, and most of them were basically like, what about the church don't you like? Okay, like, why don't you go to a church? And I'm just going to share with you some of the things that they've said or that I've gathered from them. And we're going to hold space for these people too, right? The church weaponizes the Bible and creates isolation, judgment, shame, and separation. Christians want to feel powerful. I think everybody wants to feel powerful, but how they experience power, according to these people that I've talked to, will feel power by minimizing other people's experiences and using the Bible to create an us and them, an othering of whole people groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In today's evangelical culture, has hyper-focused on a few social issues. And from that vantage point, the way that they live doesn't actually align with the way that Jesus has lived. Like, the things that Jesus did, the way that he lived, who he cared for, is in opposition with the current most common evangelical cultural worldview. And so a lot of people are like, you say that you love Jesus, but why don't you live like he does? Why don't I feel Jesus off of you? And why do you have such strong opinions about things that, based on how Jesus is described in the Bible, he wouldn't share your opinion on those things? And then the last one, Christians seem to care a lot about the first commandment, to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second commandment isn't as required of them. That when they go to church, they're really focused on their own personal experience with God and not loving others. And so those are the reasons why some of the people in my life that I love deeply aren't attending a church right now. That's all really heavy.
It's really heavy, and I think whether you're currently in church, at a church,
mm-hmm.
wherever you're at, what's interesting is everyone can meet there. Because chances are, if you've had human interaction...
Totally.
Whether that be, you know, through a scope of a faith-based group, you run into that. Totally. Because you run into people. There is an expectation, though, rightfully so, too, that when you are in a atmosphere that is people of faith,
yeah,
there's a really high expectation.
Mm.
And I think if you kind of look at it from a different perspective, is that's a really suffocating expectation,
mm-hmm.
because the same expectation you have for everyone else,
yeah,
you also have to have for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I know that I personally,
yeah,
if I walked around probably in my past with the same expectation that I had of Christian people,
mm.
and then turned that lens and put it on myself, I wouldn't measure up either. So there's a lot of like finger pointing, but it's all relative, because we can point the finger right back at ourselves.
100%.
So it's people being people.
People being people.
And expectations getting dropped in, and then the whole thing gets set on fire.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. What? Can we turn the conversation? Because obviously we already kind of said this, but like, we're going to be coming at this from a vantage point of like people that have at some point considered themselves part of the family of God. I follow Jesus. I believe what Jesus did for me on the cross. I accept him as Savior. I am forgiven of my sins. There's that group of people that are listening right now. And then there are people that are on the fringes of that like all of this is causing you to bristle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So help me understand from your vantage point, having very little experience in church and then radical experience in Jesus, you've already kind of said it, but let's unpack a little bit. How did you perceive God, church, Jesus? What was that paradigm for you before you experienced them?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I had tried church. I had not tried Jesus. I didn't have a great experience with it. Rather than kind of explore that deeper, I told myself, well, that's just not for you. And because I associated church and Jesus ultimately as I had to have the same relationship for it to work, I kind of just put a wall up and none of that was for me. The really unique way that I came to Jesus was very much outside of a church.
Right. A lot of people these days,
yes,
are experiencing radical experiences with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God's Word, and it is not happening within the context of a church.
Yes. And the thing that initially led me to even kind of open up, which if you've heard my testimony, you know more about it, and I won't spend too much time on it, but ultimately it was people who had the presence of God. That was what I would say was my first church. It was these really small interactions that I had with them. And even if they were hard questions, mm-hmm. even if they were conversations that I didn't particularly get or want to have at the moment, it was consistent. How they showed up for me, how they treated me, how they understood me, it was consistent. And then what happened from there, when I actually wanted to have a relationship with Jesus, and this is the thing, Jesus is so thoughtful, and he knows you so intimately, even more intimately than you know yourself. I never really felt this push that the second I said yes to Jesus that I had to get my butt to church. I didn't really feel that. What I did feel is get to know me, spend time with me. And I was flapping around, not knowing what to do. I was opening Bibles. I was searching things on the internet. I was asking people. And that was all part of the process. And when I finally got to a place that I had separated Jesus from my experience with church, just for a second, I felt confident that I could go into a church and I could actually go into that atmosphere and be open-minded.
Whoa.
And so I had to learn about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I had to strengthen my faith in Jesus and a trust, then I could go and look at, okay, what's church about? How does this fit into play?
Oh my gosh, this is so revolutionary.
Does that answer your question though?
100%.
I'm so long.
And you're setting, no, but you're setting, I mean, like, you're doing for me what I prayed we would experience in this, and that is to, like, slow down enough to, like, really break down where the distinction of grief and pain lies.
Yes.
Because for a lot of people, and I think whether you said it, we've talked about this already, so I can't remember if you said it already, but I'm pretty sure what I love about that distinction was that there's a thing about getting with God and getting with Jesus that will strengthen your discernment to look outside at the world and all the people in it and figure out what's right and wrong. Okay, so let's go back to, like, the beginning of human history for just a second. Okay? Let's go back to, like, Genesis 3. How about that? In Genesis, you know, 1 and 2, two wildly different vantage points on the creation narrative. That's Genesis 1 and 2. First two chapters of the Hebrew Bible, which is also known as the Old Testament. In the third chapter of Genesis, for those of you that are brand new, there is a garden that God creates on the top of this mountain, and it's the garden within Eden, okay? And Jesus comes later. God is just living amongst Adam and Eve, man and woman. And in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, God was walking about, waiting for Adam and Eve to join him in their daily walkabout in the middle of the day. And a serpent comes to them talking, which is a very strange reality. But just follow this narrative for just a second, because we're getting to the heart of the narrative and not the details of the narrative. When the serpent came to Eve, he asked her, did God really say, did God really say what you think he said? Can you say that? And Eve's like, well, I mean, he said, and then she lists some of the things, one of which she said, we're not allowed to touch the tree. Based on what we learned already, God told Adam not to eat from the tree, but he didn't specify whether or not to touch it. So there's already a breakdown between Adam and Eve and the serpent. There's a breakdown there on what Jesus actually said, what God actually said, which I refer to Jesus himself. God, let's get back to it. God said, you can't eat from the tree. Eve actually told the serpent, you can't touch the tree. Okay, so there's a breakdown.
And I never really thought of that.
Isn't that crazy? So where was that breakdown? Because we didn't, in the narrative, we did not hear God explain it directly to Eve. We hear that God explained it to Adam. So there was a breakdown somewhere between Adam and Eve and the serpent. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they saw that the tree was good. And they took. They saw and they took. They saw and they took. That is very early on in the existence of human history. They saw what was right and took. They saw what was right in their own eyes and they took. They seized the knowledge of good and evil. They seized knowing the knowledge of good and evil, which for them to inhabit the earth, they would have to know anyway. They would have to know how to decipher good and evil. Tov and Ra in Hebrew. Tov and Ra. They would have to distinguish those things. So you would assume that at some point, God was going to make that wisdom accessible to them. He just knew it wasn't the right time. They seized wisdom. They saw and they took what they thought was right in their own eyes. Follow the Bible narrative all through the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. Follow it the entire way. That is what God's people did over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. God says this. They interpret it a way that's different than what he said. They see what's good in their own eyes and they take it. If you interact with anyone who follows Jesus, we are going to fall prey to doing the very same thing.
That's such a great point, Jess.
We are going to do it. I just want to guarantee it to you because that is our human nature. We will see that things look good. We will see that things look pleasing. We will take it for ourselves. And it does not matter what your political perspective is on that. It doesn't matter. You can insert any current hot topic. And I can tell you the extremes of both of those. I can tell you what seeing what they think is good and taking it with their own eyes. I can tell you what either extreme of those is.
Yeah.
Seeing what they think is good and taking it for themselves. But the wisdom of God is only accessible to us when we come to him and ask for it. What's so cool about the wisdom of God is that when we come to him, James tells us that anyone who wants wisdom, if you ask it by God, he will give it to you without finding fault. So long as you believe that he is the source of all wisdom. So, I say all of that. I want to get back to it because every wound, every hurt, every struggle, every disappointment that you've experienced from people who claim Jesus are falling into the same sinful habits of every other believing, a God-believing person in all of human history. We are all capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We are all capable of doing that, and we will. And it's when you got to find the people, though,
mm-hmm.
that have, and you have to have the discernment yourself. You have to have the discernment yourself to say, that sounds like, that sounds like somebody saw it and they took what they thought was right. You know what I mean? Like,
can I add something?
Yeah, sure.
I love what you said about discernment because I remember getting closer to God definitely strengthened that discernment. And my main hang up with going to church is I was still kind of dying to an identity, which was this previously agnostic person who I found people at church silly. I was like, you guys go and you listen to silly stories and then You know, everybody proves how good they are. Like, I really just had such a judgmental approach towards Christians and towards people who attended church in general. And I kind of, in the beginning of my relationship with Christ, I was desperately trying to figure out, like, how do I be his and then also be this? Because I don't want to be that. So two things happened. Is one, I had to actually admit that the same judgment that I was just on my soapbox about, like, I can't be around those judgmental people. I was judging them harder than they had ever judged me. And there was like a dying to self there that had to happen that Jesus really worked with me on in the beginning in order to prepare me to be able to accept that church can be a positive thing.
Right.
It can be a good thing.
Right.
There had to be that work there. There had to be that healing there. And it wasn't just God revealing all of the bad things that had happened, all the negative things that had happened. For me, actually, it was him revealing, like, for the most part, girl, everybody's kind of left you alone. They've let you do your own thing and be of the world and all these things, but you've sat back and you've judged them harshly. Way harsher than they judged you.
Wow.
And so much of that running was that I had decided that these people are this certain way and I don't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus actually allowed me to get around those people, I realized they were nothing like that.
Wow.
But I had to get through my own judgment, my own pre-thing. So I think sometimes there's this part of healing when it comes to church that isn't just exterior.
Oh my gosh.
There's a responsibility on the interior to kind of fix the things inside you need to fix.
Yeah.
And it's not ultimately that you're ever going to have this picture-perfect relationship with every person you come across. It's how do I have a good enough relationship with Jesus that no matter who I encounter, I have the discernment to one know, like, am I experiencing religion? Am I experiencing a flawed person?
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of that, can I still forgive them for that too?
Wow.
So I love what you said there about discernment, because there's a spiritual maturity that happens when you get close enough to Jesus and allow that to happen. That so many of the things that you had such a problem with are no longer as massive as other problems as you thought that they were. Because you've got that discernment now for yourself and for others.
Totally. I'd also say that, like, the process of you experiencing the healing from the hurt of the people that have hurt you looks wildly different for each person.
Sure.
So we welcome you to go to counseling. We welcome you to journal. We welcome you to meditate on the scriptures that, you know, like any of them. Just open your Bible or not open your Bible and journal and pray. Or, see a counselor or sit down with another person that has a faith that you are wrestling with and talk to them about what you're wrestling with. And I think having the discernment to know that they're in every group of people, they're going to be trustworthy and untrustworthy people. In every group of people. There are going to be people that you can trust and people that you cannot. And so that is also true about the people who all claim Jesus. That simply because one untrustworthy person or several untrustworthy person within the context of one church or a few churches of the same kind, because they did those things that you can't talk to anybody else that has shared that faith. I think when you come around somebody who clearly shows the love of Jesus in a way that you feel safe with, I think talking to them about your experience will allow for God to, you're making space for God to speak into us. And I will let you know, I am a part of a church. My husband and I'll just share my husband's perspective, because I do think there's something really good about him. He and I went to ministry together. He's been actively a part of a church his entire life, but not the same church, because there were times where this church is harming me and my family and is thwarting what I believe practicing the way of Jesus looks like in my life. So I'm gonna choose a different church. And but he stayed loyal to several churches, right? He hasn't like unsubscribed to a church quickly. So I'm just gonna share his perspective because I think it's really, really cool. He was like, I am choosing to be a part of a community because I still need in some way the challenge of someone else. You know what I mean? In the same way that like
that tension. Yes.
The tension isn't always necessarily bad. Some of it is bad. Like, I don't want to discount that. But there are times where like, I'm going to go to church and be around the body of believers because that's how we study the Bible. I mean, like, part of understanding who God is actually like interfacing with other people, even the ones that we don't agree with, and having the strengthening our discernment to know what like God is really saying. And so for him, he looks at people who unsubscribe quickly to just any church as saying, he struggles with the idea that like you leaving is actually you not solving the problem.
Oh, girl. Wow.
Like, because you've said those people are broken, so I'm not going to associate with them, you're actually not being a part of the solution. I want to go and be a part of the solution. And so for us, we have been, respectively and collectively, he and I, respectively, we're part of churches that cause people within those churches have hurt us deeply. Okay? That was like, that's true. We are now part of a church, and we choose to be a part of a church. Our biblical community invests in us and helps us understand more about ourselves, our sin, our dysfunction, more about him and his goodness and his transforming power. That's what our relationships with people outside of church does. When we go to church, we both feel really called, like it's a Sunday morning, it's a little over an hour, and we go there to love people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we go.
And you do that.
Thank you. But I mean, like the church doesn't have to do for me what it once did for me, which was to be like the all-encompassing everything. It's a place where I go and I just love people. And then I'm going to go home and I'm going to like really try to figure out what it's like to live like Jesus. But there are hurting people that will go to church and talk about the hurt that they've experienced at church. Or there are people that are hurting that have never experienced Jesus, but their friend has invited them to church. So I'm just going to go to church, and I'm just going to do my best to love people when I'm there. And practice the discernment. There are times where we leave church, and he and I both have very different views than the person who preached about what they preached about. That is 100% true. And we have to leave going, okay, I didn't agree with this point, but I really loved how he unpacked that, or I really loved when she said this. And for us, we have had to practice the discernment of being a part of a very dysfunctional family.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to glaze over this.
Sure.
I'm not sure I understand.
Me either, Siri.
Why does my watch talk to me all the time?
No, I don't want to glaze over this because I think just your experience is really inspiring. Because you are someone who has been involved with church at a very high level. And like you said, you had to find a different way for it to work for you than what you had originally intended.
Yeah.
And when you run into Jess, I've told this before on the podcast, Jess was the one, when I first started coming to church, there's like a couple people that are terrifying. She's
where are you going, girl?
Because she is so happy that you are there.
Yeah.
And you are so just full of love and joy and welcoming that it's like contagious.
Wow.
And I remember my experience, first time I ever went to church, is I ran into you that day. Mm-hmm. And you were like, Alicia! But the whole reason I'm bringing this up is you're someone who could have probably taken a very different path.
Yeah.
And could still today probably have a very different relationship with not just going to church, being in a church community, but how you show up in church. So I want to ask you, what did you do for your own healing to get there?
Oh, man. I'll just say this. I was not about to let people dim the light that God is shining in me. I'm just not about to let any person or institution or people group rob from me the joy that I have in Jesus. I'm just not going to let them. And there are a lot of people out there that have really not liked how I've done certain things. And there's a reputation that I have out there with people who have written me off. And I have forgiven them, and I've loved them, and I've chosen to intercede for them, because nobody is going to rob from me the joy that I have in the Lord. Nobody is going to rob from me the joy that I have in the Lord. No institution, no people, no misguided leadership or power or authority is going to dim the light that God has birthed in me. And that is why I show up. That's why I show up. And that's why I give to you what I gave to somebody else when I was a pastor 15 years ago. I'm just not going to let somebody take from me the joy I have in the Lord.
Amen. Hold on. Let me wipe these tears for a second. I think that's really powerful, friend.
Yeah. And I have to discern what churches I'm going to affiliate with and who I'm not. People that are going to say that they love Jesus the way that I love Jesus, and they're going to have a different point of view than I know. And I have to accept the fact that I too will seize wisdom before the time, that I will see what's right in my own eyes, and I will take it in the same way that they will do it. And it will look different. And the Lord convicted me of this recently. I was in my feels about people in my life, okay? And I don't want to get into a ditch and start talking about things that aren't necessary. So I'm going to do my very best to explain. I was in my feels about certain people in my life that have dysfunction that I don't like.
Okay.
There are people in my life that have dysfunction that I don't like.
We can all relate to that.
And the Lord just lovingly asked me, like, why does their dysfunction bother you? Because you're really open to hearing other people's dysfunction. There's other dysfunction that you want to give a hug to. But for some reason, that dysfunction irritates you. That dysfunction is, right? And for whatever reason, I recognized that, like, I'm more prone to appreciate other broken people, but not those broken people. Mm-hmm. And everyone can say that. And so the Lord was just like, if I've called you to be in a posture of love, not to shy away from what's true and what's noble and what's right and what's pure and what's lovely and what's admirable, what's excellent, but to, like, love people where they're at. That means I have to love the people who I believe are wrong that exist in the church. And that's my job, right? Like, everyone else, there are certain friends of mine who have been absolutely abused by people in the church. And I am not about to ask them to go back to those churches, to go back to being under the leadership of those people. Absolutely not. Please don't. But can you just get before God for a little bit? Can you just sit down with God for a little bit? Can you just let Him guide you to the right counselor? Can you just let Him guide you to that friend that's going to listen and apologize on behalf of other people? Can you just look at how Jesus forgave you? Can we just know that when we get with God, that He's going to reveal, if we're open to it, if He's going to reveal to us, this is where you're wrong, babe. No, she's not. She's busy right now.
In the name of Jesus.
Siri! Alicia is busy.
We really are professionals.
We are.
Quiet on set. Jamie, can you take
Oh my God.
Jamie's our fake intern. She doesn't actually exist. I'm so sorry, Brian.
No, but I would say, like, I want to make sure that, like, the friend of mine who's, I said this already, but there's a friend of mine who are, like, they're really into believing the first commandment, love God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but that second, loving your neighbor as yourself, the church is, like, historically bad at doing. And I'm like, yes and amen, we totally do, so I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Okay, fine, yes. fine. Let's not worry about what they are doing or not doing. Let's have the discernment to walk away from somebody who's not really healthy.
Well, and
you know what I mean?
In understanding this, most of the time when you're running into conflict with another human being, most of the time you're running into a projection.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And things, exactly to your point, this specific thing bothers me, that this specific thing. And normally when that happens within us, it's because there's something inside of ourselves that we have not forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
We have not healed from. We have not changed.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about Jesus, and this is something that I never got taught in the church. I'm sure a lot of people try, but I just wasn't in the right space to receive it,
okay.
Is I heard a lot about forgiveness in the church.
Mm-hmm.
No one really explained to me why Jesus desperately wants you to have forgiveness for others.
Mm.
And that's because it's for you. When you forgive, you don't carry it anymore.
Mm.
And when you think, there's no possible way I could forgive this person, I could forgive this hurt, I could forgive how you wronged me, realize that so much of the forgiveness, yes, it's for them. But it's for you to be freed from that.
That's right.
And so, unfortunately, I never really picked that up in church.
Right.
Not that someone probably didn't try or that it just got misplaced, but it was exactly what you said. Just sitting with Jesus and him revealing how forgiveness can look, but also how it feels.
Mm.
And a huge part of me being in a church community, I don't really go to a lot of traditional churches. I find that I can resonate best. I go to a house church. It's really small. It's like 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a service, and it's really low-key and chill. That's not to say I still don't go to, you know, traditional churches and stuff. But I find that I can be really intimate with Jesus in that setting.
Sure.
But why I think that your story is really inspiring, it's because if you have a relationship with Jesus, no matter what atmosphere you're in, no matter which way you're worshiping, no matter where you are, like, there's still going to be that consistency of your relationship. And so I love that that you can share the differences for yourself, but that you can also share what is never going to change.
Right, right.
Which
right.
is your relationship with Jesus.
Right. I've changed a ton, right? Like I can look back at every single season in ministry, out of ministry, before ministry, after ministry, and be like, ooh, I need to pivot. And that was, I need to get with Jesus on that. Like, I did that wrong. And as he just transforms the way that I think and behave, I feel like he's also deepening the biblical community that I'm in that incorporates things like accountability and reminds me of who he is and reminds me of who I am. And so there's a biblical community there. And I, like, really love the Bible, and I study it, and I listen to other people who teach it, and I have the discernment to disagree with them when they teach it in a way that doesn't align with what I've learned. And then I forgive them for doing that.
That's what's really cool. I've always been a person that had tons of questions, tons of questions.
Yeah.
And I think the Lord knew that. And he was so thoughtful. And the people that he placed me in front of in the beginning, he placed me in front of people that weren't afraid to answer questions to the best of their ability.
Yeah.
Didn't judge me for asking
the
questions. And I think specifically for anyone who might be listening to this, who maybe some of the resistance you have to church isn't anything other than you just have questions that have never been answered or attempted to be answered.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my encouragement is, if you put effort out there, like, mm-hmm. you will find those people.
That's right.
Jesus loves, he loves to connect people. If I know anything, he loves to connect people. And sometimes it's just that opening of your heart of like, I really want to understand this more. And I just have questions.
Right.
I just have questions. Can you please lead me to a place that I can ask those questions?
That's right.
And I think that unfortunately sometimes church doesn't feel like a place that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that that isn't available for you.
That's right. That the Lord will put a place. And here's the truth. If you feel like a conversation like this is really healing for you, I want you to know I'm one of millions of people around the world who are trying to, there are a few great Bible teachers that I love, one of which is John Mark Comer, and he has a whole ministry called Practicing the Way. He's got a book called Practicing the Way, and the subtitle is Be with Jesus, Become Like Jesus, and Do As He Did. There are so many people that are trying to walk the way of Jesus that I believe there's a revival. I don't just believe that it's me and Alicia who are hopefully bringing a little bit of healing to your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. There are millions of people who are trying to do it this way. And when the Bible talks about there being a narrow road, it's not about the road to salvation. It's the road to becoming a disciple of Jesus. That road is very narrow. It's that road. The road of becoming like Jesus. That road is super, super narrow. But it's a road. And it's open. And there's a lot of people out there that I hope God will use to redeem, to restore, to heal the brokenness from other people who claim Jesus. And I hope that those people that have hurt you, I pray that they experience healing too, because they need it. They're broken. And I think if we can do those two commandments, love the Lord your God, follow your hopes and want and strength. Let's go to Him first. Let's seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added unto us. Let's put our full faith and trust in God, the author and perfecter of our faith. When we do those things, He will birth in us a love for other people and all the other people, all the people who are the others. Like, that will be birthed in us if we spend time, not just studying the Word, because we could study the Word for knowledge, and that knowledge can puff us up, and then we could go seek.
Yes.
We could see things that are right in our own eyes and take it. I'm saying when you talk to God, when you have a teachable, humble heart before God, when you seek Him and His kingdom, what will happen inside of us is that we will experience healing. He will reveal to us our brokenness. He will show us the way in which He is working. And it's very simple, and it's usually very, very clear. The next right thing. And when we do the next right thing, all the other things will be added.
That's so good.
I'm not saying just praying all these things will go away. I'm saying, like, let's just start with sitting down with God and figuring out what He wants you to do. And I just cannot stress enough. There might be some real radical healing that you need professional help with. I just cannot stress it enough. But, like, it's not just pray and everything will go away. Please don't hear that. I'm not trying to gaslight you in your pain. What I'm trying to do is just show you that, like, the next right thing right now is just talk to God about it. And He'll show you what to do.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
Because that kind of brought something up. I want to share this because it's kind of the story of God's redemption, just in how He has done a lot of healing in me. Because normally what this situation that happened to me 3 years ago, this would have went into the church hurt box.
Cool. Yeah.
So I...
Not cool, like, so glad that you got into church.
No, so I was speaking to someone about something, and I can't remember how we got on the subject, and I don't know if I've ever really talked about this on the podcast, but my youngest son is autistic, and I was talking to this woman about just about him, and she had said to me, have you ever thought that your son's condition is because of your sins? And I'm not going to lie.
And that's when I shamed her.
Well, hold on. Okay. Okay. Let's walk through it. At first, it hit me, it kind of gutted me. And I started having this discernment of, like, I think I'm walking into a religious conversation. So instead of me just already assuming that I'm going to attack this woman before she can attack me, or I'm going to judge this woman, or I'm going to flee, right? Because those were kind of like all my things. I just stopped for a second, and I literally said to myself, like, okay, this is where the Holy Spirit should probably take over. This is where, like, I'm probably not equipped, but I'm equipped enough to know who is. And my response to this woman was, you know, that's definitely something that's crossed my mind. As I get to know a lot of different things that Scripture says, and I'm growing in my knowledge, of course that's something that I've thought of before. But whenever I have a really, really big question, I take it to God. Take it to God. And that was a big question, a very sensitive question, a very loaded question that probably if someone really even understood what that was, they would never ask you that. That's how big of a question that is. But this woman, for whatever reason, did ask me that. And I don't really believe in it's coincidental, right? Like, I do believe that it's all of these things happen for a reason. And I think this woman asked me this for two reasons. Is one, it was a test on my healing and how I was going to respond to her. Was I going to respond to her in love? Okay. I think it was also it was almost like a little brain evidence for me and Jesus to realize, okay, this is how far I've come. But then the third thing I think it was is I think it was me to have the discernment in how I responded to this woman. This is basically what I said, is I said, if I was to be judged for my sins, I deserve way more punishment than having a beautiful, smart, courageous little boy.
Wow.
And in that moment, I think what God was doing was reminding this woman that what she sees as a burden and what she sees as a consequence is actually a gift.
It's a blessing.
And one of his greatest gifts that he's given me. And so that whole situation,
good night, that's so good,
was an example of how, for me anyways, I knew that I healed from some church hurt. I knew that I grew in my emotional spirituality. Like, I knew that that was just such a moment that I could look back and be like, wow, there's really been some work done, and it's because of Jesus.
Right.
Because me 2 years ago, that could have never came up.
Hey, me today. You heard what I was about to do. So what's coming after her? I'm listening to you right now.
Just
I'm about to take out my earrings. I'm ready to go.
But
that's such a good word.
And I share that because I think sometimes you just get in this point where you're like, you just don't see the point. You don't see the point. Why should I heal from that? Yeah. And it's because these little small interactions, if I wouldn't have, like, at least offered up the opportunity to heal from that, then that whole conversation could have been just two people offended, upset, hurt. But instead, it got to be something different.
Right.
And so I think there's, if you're in a space where you just don't see what benefit it would be to heal your relationship with church, with God, it can literally just be that simple. So anyways, thanks for letting me share that.
My goodness gracious. Yeah, we have a really jacked up, I think just like humanity has a really jacked up view of what a blessing really is. Like, I think we all get it wrong. But, like, what we think is easy, we think is a blessing, or could actually be a snare or a trap, or really bad comfort. And then suffering is usually what's considered bad. Pain is usually considered bad. And in reality, it could be, like, radical blessings. And
like
perspective. I mean, just. So I want to wrap this up because I feel like we've covered a lot. And this was not like a simple dessert. It was more like a steak dinner in terms of its heaviness. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like a little macaroon. It was more like a steak dinner.
Have you? I have not been an appetizer.
Never. Not a day in my life, no. But I will say, for those of you that are experiencing shame, disappointment, I pray that the Lord discerns, this was not for me, this is for me. You know, what's not for him? What is from him? I hope that you ask him for wisdom and trust that he'll give it to you. And I hope that you too can experience the kind of healing that Alicia just described, which is re-entering that situation that could have triggered you, but being so healed that you can discern what the Lord's trying to say.
And I would say the same for you, and just the example of how you show up. It's amazing.
Thank you.
It's amazing. And I know for you to share what you shared, that was a lot. And I'm sorry. I tried to poke bear a little bit.
You did. You did. And like I even told you I didn't know if I was going to talk about it. And then you went ahead and it was just like, oh, by the way, Jess, let's talk about you.
Well, I've been praying so hard about this because your experience, but not just your experience, your overcoming is something that I think not only can people relate to, but they want to hear. They want to hear the success story, Jesus's success story, which is how you can experience what you experience and still love, still be joyous, still also have the authority to say, no, you don't get to take that from me.
Oh, no.
Because he gave you that.
Right.
Jess, that's so powerful. I'm so happy you shared it.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
She's like, thanks. Shut up.
I don't want to talk about me.
Shut up.
So let's pray it out.
Yeah.
Who's doing it?
You do this one.
Okay. All right.
You do this one.
All right. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that we got to have this conversation. I pray that you throw in the garbage whatever we said that was what we, Alicia and Jess, thought were right and wrong. I pray that whoever's listening doesn't use any of what was said as fuel for some unhealthy perspective. I hope it doesn't take them down a rabbit trail that leads them to something like guilt or shame or judgment. But God, that it softens every heart. That whatever it is that you said in this talk, aside from whatever opinions we shared, but whatever it is that you showed up and said, that it is used for your glory and for your purposes and for your good, and that it blesses the ears who hear it, and that it softens hearts to come to know you, to be healed by you, to be saved, and experience relationship with you, God. And I just pray that in whatever we do today and every day, that we first seek you and that we experience the healing and the power of your glory and your goodness, and that we live it out. We like really do what Jesus did, which was to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then to just radically love others and give out love like candy. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know where
you did.
We're there.
Share it with your friends. I don't know. It's like at the end of every podcast, they say all the things that you already know. So I don't know why we do that. But thank you so much for joining us today.
We love you guys. Thanks for being here.
Bye-bye.